The Bloomington City Council has ended its moratorium on new video gambling licenses and also finally sold some land on the west side to the Boys and Girls Club. Mayor Terry Renner is in studio with WGLT's Ryan Denham to discuss these developments and more.
The mayors of Bloomington Normal join us most Tuesdays after their regular and special council meetings. Mayor Renner, thanks again for your time on Sound Ideas.
Thank you, Ryan. It's great to be here as always.
Let's start with video gambling. The council voted 8-1 to allow for 8 additional licenses in addition to the 52 that the city has already granted. This comes after a long moratorium where new licenses were put on hold, intended to curtail any kind of explosion in gambling in the city. So what do you think of the council's decision here, kind of reopening the door for more video gambling?
Well, I think there's several conflicting thoughts. First of all, I'm not a gambler and I don't like it. I don't even really like the machines. But that's really not my position as mayor. As mayor, it is part of what the state of Illinois, frankly, has opened up this can of worms. And it is part of economic development. So I definitely have experienced in terms of conversations with people who have not been able to sell their businesses because of the moratorium, because the profit margin goes from being in the red to being in the black. If you've got video poker machines in many establishments, it's part of what, unfortunately, we're dealt with. So I have to deal with the cards that are dealt with me. And this is one of those times where I would agree that with those that say that the market ought to come up with whatever that limit is. Because I don't know that 60 establishments the limit is 62. How do you even come up with that number? And I think at some point we would hit saturation. And so I think the market would correct itself. And especially these days, it's so place specific, the focus of this debate. Whereas you and I can pick up our phone and start gambling, at any point, in any place, sitting in our living room. And that's, I don't mean that as a good thing. I mean, that's just as an empirical observation. So I was conflicted about this, but my position was that I didn't think we should get into the regulatory business of this, with the exception that we don't want video poker parlors in Bloomington. And we have been very aggressive on the Liquor Commission in making sure that that's not the case. But to ultimately get to your question, I think this was a compromise. And this is a compromise that I think we can all live with, again, or almost all. It was an 8-1 vote. As I did promise, I would not either veto what the council passed or the mayor of Bloomington has a line item or an item veto, so I could take specific parts of it. The problem with it is the city manager did a great job of helping to put together a compromise. And if I were to like pick it apart, then the whole might not equal the sum of the parts. So I already signed it. I signed it this morning, reluctantly signed it. But it is a compromise. There's plenty in there for everybody to like and dislike.
And you mentioned it being very site-specific. So to that end, there was also sort of a side vote last night about big truck stops and how many video gambling machines they can have in Bloomington. Council voted to hold that number at 5. Not raising it, or not 10. What did you think of that discussion about what truck stops should have in the special place?
I thought the discussion was a very good and healthy discussion. I think the council laid out the pros and cons of that. I would have, it went down 5-4. I would have supported the upper limit just because that's what the state of Illinois did, and I think we would be at a competitive disadvantage to other truck stops and other places in immediate communities if we have 5 versus 10. And that this is also a situation where, frankly, most of the people that are going to be at those truck stops, if not almost everyone, are going to be people who are in transit. And you know, in a kind of a cold, cruel, crass way, as mayor, I want them to drop as much money here while they're in Bloomington as, as possible, as opposed to other communities. You know, that just is one of the realities. It's an unfortunate reality. I wish if this wasn't dealing with gambling, I think it'd be a whole different story.
So you've got 8 more licenses in the mix here, taking it up to 60. Presuming that brings in extra revenue for the city. Does the city have any obligation, do you think, to pump money into sort of the addiction side of this and funding treatment? What
yes.
is that role?
And I think that's a part of a broader conversation. But I do think that absolutely we have an obligation to do that. And I think it's more than just putting a sticker as part of this ordinance that says, hey, you can call this. That's kind of like on your cigarette package where you see the little note that cigarette smoking, you know, is hazardous to your health. I don't know what that might look like. Some of that could be direct or indirect funding. Some of it certainly could be funding through the Scott Health Commission, through the township. There may be any number of possibilities. But it's also not just gambling addictions. It's addictions generally that I think that we, need to step up to the plate on. And we did with mental health. I don't mean to say that we haven't. With the quarter cent sales tax increase 4 years ago that is earmarked for mental health in McLean County.
So do you think this is it for video gambling for a while? You think the city can kind of ride out this current approach to video gambling for the foreseeable future? Are there any additional sort of policy questions that are still floating out there on this?
Yeah, I think we're going to hit the 60 within maybe the first day that this opens up on September 15th. So I think we're going to hit the upper limit. And so at that point, I'm not quite sure what happens. I don't think the council is going to be willing to revisit this decision anytime soon. Does that mean that people will be content? No. There will definitely, we'll be hearing it at the Liquor Commission in public comment or in other issues. But certainly putting that ceiling on is going to have fairly immediate effects. Because as I say, I could be wrong, but I doubt it. I'm betting that first day that we're going to hit the ceiling of 60, or at least get that number of applications, if not more.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Mayor Renner, a week ago, the council met for its less formal Committee of the Whole meeting. One of the things that you guys talked about was how to get ready for marijuana legalization. Council member Jen Carrillo at that time was pushing for a cannabis task force, bringing together stakeholders like residents, the police, other kind of stakeholders. What did you think of that idea, that kind of shape for a body to explore these municipal issues?
Well, I thought Alderwoman Carrillo's idea was a very good one. That work has to be done regardless of whether it's done by a commission or whether it's done by staff and the city council. And in the past, I have appointed commissions when we had a budget task force in 2015, then a downtown task force in 2016. There were 9 members. In both cases, I put 3 council members on, which would be the maximum, you know, in order to avoid problems with Open Meetings Act. And I thought actually both of those went, I mean, there were some, they weren't perfect, but I thought, for example, that the task force report by the Downtown Commission was really first rate and was solid, evidence-based, fact-based. Even if people didn't agree with everything that was in there, I thought it was really well done. And the budget task force did uncover all kinds of things that we could explore. Now, it turned out that a lot of those were not things we could do, like privatizing golf courses. Turns out it would cost us more money to privatize the golf courses than to keep it in-house as we currently do. But it did illuminate lots of possibilities, and we did pursue all of those possibilities. It also made it quite clear that there was no pot of gold in solving our budget problem, that we had already gone from about 850 full-time equivalent employees 9 years ago to about 650 today. Employees aren't the only thing, but we've already got a lean force that is a workforce. And so that's one of the things that it pointed out. So I would, obviously, I have no hesitation about going down the task force route. And I think it would be a good idea to have, and I would, you know, I would think we'd do 9, have 6 aldermen or women, you know, on that. Doesn't have to be. Obviously, the council has, you know, would make that decision. I could appoint a mayoral task force, but I'd want it, you know, under the circumstances, I'd want the council to have buy-in on that. I wouldn't just do it like I did with those other two, essentially unilaterally.
So what is your sense of where the council is on this? Do you think that's something they want to?
I don't know about the task force. Some people expressed some skepticism about the task force as a procedure. But at the end of the day, these are questions we have to wrestle with, because I don't think there's any question that we're not going to be an opt-out city. There may be some people on the council that would like us to opt out, but I don't think it's going to be a majority. And as I have said publicly before, I think that would be a mistake, so I would veto it. You would need a supermajority on the council to override my veto of that. I think we've got to accept the reality that this is there. And, frankly, it's a revenue source. And so for all of those reasons, I don't think we're going to be an opt-out city. I don't think that Normal will either. And so I think we've got to, you know, move forward. And I think we also really need to, you know, one of the tasks, either of a task force or whoever is charged with moving forward on this, is to work with the town of Normal to be sure that as much as possible, we've got the same language and we have the same requirements in both communities.
Yeah, do you see that cooperation even being more than just checking to see that you're on the same page? Do you think that the, I don't know, it could be like a joint task force or some kind of joint body that comes together?
I think everything's on the table in something like that, absolutely. And so as we move forward, one of the things that we, that probably one of the biggest issues of law enforcement is going to be, how do you determine, what kinds of equipment do we get to determine intoxication, the equivalent of intoxication for people who are high, on cannabis? And it's that we're not blazing a new trail here. It's other states have dealt with this. State of California has dealt with this. But you can't use alcohol breathalyzers to determine that.
Yeah. What are some of the other kind of thorniest issues at the local level? Because, I mean, the state just went through a pretty long debate. There was a lot of stakeholders at the table. I mean, it seems like every day there was a story in the news about the marijuana debate, and then it passed, right? So at the local level, I mean, what are these kind of outstanding issues?
I think one would be, of course, do you opt in or you opt out? The other is, what does law enforcement do? I think that's another critical issue. There can only be one in our metro area, and that is the metropolitan statistical area as defined by the Census Bureau here is McLean County and DeWitt.
So one dispensary?
One. And
Normal already has one, right? They have
yes.
one in North Normal?
Correct.
So we're going to have two.
Those that currently have dispensaries can have open up a second one. So my guess is, in fact, I'd be shocked if pretty much all of them throughout the state didn't open a second one, because they're quite profitable, quite lucrative. So at the end of the day, you're absolutely right. There really is very little wiggle room on the part of the locality. Unless they can opt out, they can opt in. They opt in, they have law enforcement issues and other kinds of things that they want to make sure that there are protections and other things. You wouldn't want to have people smoking cannabis probably in public buildings and or within a certain number of feet, kind of like cigarette smoking, right? So there are some issues like that. I don't think this is brain surgery. I think that a commission like this could do its work in maybe four or five meetings.
So how much interest has the city received from businesses and potential business owners looking to open? A lot.
Yes.
Could you quantify that in any meaningful way?
Dozens. In terms of conversations, not necessarily people who said, hey, here's my business plan, come forward, but in terms of conversations of people who would have the means to move forward. But at the end of the day, the state of Illinois will decide, not us, who gets that one contract.
Do you think that Bloomington could position itself as sort of a not a destination, but sort of a tourism place where people can come and get this product? I think because there are so many communities that are opting out, and we're seeing that in our neck of the woods. I think it was Morton, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Morton that opted out. All over the state, we're seeing that. More and more communities saying, no thanks. Bloomington and Normal may be unique in the respect that they're going to say, probably, yeah, sure, let's have one or two.
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, again, this is being purely Machiavellian as a mayor to say, please, other communities, opt out so that they have to come to Bloomington.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Mayor Renner, let's pivot to one last thing before we cut you loose. Last night, the city council unanimously approved a 3.5% pay raise for city manager Tim Gleason. It bumps his salary up to $191,000 a year. The new contract also gives him an extra week of vacation. What'd you think of this this financial pat in the back?
Well, I think it's one that says to Tim Gleason that we do value you as an employee. We think you've done an outstanding job, over the last year. I think that we thought we were hiring somebody who was very good, and I think it's pretty safe to say that probably the entire council would agree we got someone who's even better than we thought. And so he has done an outstanding job. Sometimes we've heard, hey, that's a lot of money to pay a city manager. Actually, for the size community we are and the size budget we have, it's below average. And it's about the amount that Normal pays. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, Pam Reese does an outstanding job. But let's also face it, Bloomington is a much bigger community. nearly 80,000 as opposed to about 55,000. And we have a $220 million budget, about double that of normals. And same thing with the workforce. So the scope of the responsibilities is different. So I actually believe that, relatively speaking, the city manager, other things being equal, of Bloomington should earn considerably more. And it doesn't have to be 50% or 30%, but some increment more than the city manager, you know, in normal. This is a market, and it's a very limited market. Some people who've drawn analogies to the governor of Illinois, that this is more than the governor of Illinois earns. That's not a market, right? People, it's a different type of one. That is, people will spend hundreds of millions of dollars to get elected as governor of Illinois. When we're trying to hire a city manager, we have a comparatively limited talent pool. There aren't that many people who can manage 650 employees and a $220 million budget in the public arena. And so under those circumstances, we have to understand that the market forces operate, and as does, you know, the town of Normal understand that. So a very long answer. I think that what we should do is give an extra increment as to Mr. Gleason, so that there is some gap over time between how much we pay the city manager in Bloomington as opposed to Normal.
And last night you called him a uniting force for the city council.
Absolutely.
What do you mean by that? Can you give me an example of I don't know, an issue in which
all kinds of things. He's brought the council and myself as well together on lots of different questions, and even some really tough votes that were 5-4 votes, like the 4-cent gallon, you know, per gallon gas tax. Now, whether you like it or you don't like it, the city manager wasn't out necessarily promoting it. The city manager was saying, okay, where is the council majority? And when it was clear that it was 5 and there were 4 against, he did what a good city manager did and make sure that, you know, that came forward. And the same thing with the establishment of fees for video poker machines, which we had none. We were the only metro area in Illinois not to have one. And that also wound up being a 5-4 vote. So there were some tough votes, but he understood where the council majority is. Can we come up with more than a majority? And whether or not we're talking about economic development issues, a broad range of things, Mr. Gleason has really shown some great leadership in trying to bring people together. Like, I hear you. I'm not just listening. I hear you. Can you live with this? Can you live with that? As he did with the video poker regulatory scheme that was passed last night. And by scheme, I don't mean that to be pejorative in any way, but the system that was that the council passed that I signed about an hour ago.
So how has it changed? How has Gleason's arrival changed your job as mayor? I recall you saying workload was an issue a while ago. I think at some point you were looking to get a mayoral aide even to help with that. Do you find yourself doing less because you have Gleason at the helm?
Whether it's less, it's an easier job. And there are so many times where Tim has said to me, oh, don't worry, Mayor, it's taken care of. I never heard that in my first 5 years as mayor. I never heard that. And now I hear it all the time. So probably if I were to quantify it, I haven't done that. It's probably taken at least a few hours, you know, a week away from what I would be normally doing. And certainly from some tasks and things that I would prefer not to do, or I don't even have to do. But yes, Tim Gleason has made my job as mayor much easier, regardless of the number of hours. And he's also a straight shooter and a great guy to work for, or great work with, I should say.
That's Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. Thanks again for your time this week on Sound Ideas.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
I'm Ryan Denham.